So good morning, everyone. Our two readings today are ones that may be very familiar to us, or at least parts of them. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. I think we've heard that probably many times before. And the reading from Romans that Effie just read for us then, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to that which is good. We've heard these many times. Sometimes, so many times that they stop having any meaning. We say, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus, and don't really think about what it means. We say, let love be genuine, hold fast to that which is good, render no one evil for evil. Bless those who persecute you. Yes, bless them, but do not curse them. But what does that actually mean for our everyday life? What does it mean to deny ourselves? Does it mean that I should deny myself that chocolate cake? There's no chocolate cake, husband, under your seat. Should you be denying yourself? Is it a diet thing? You didn't miss anything. Holding fast to that which is good, does that mean I should hold fast to the football team that I follow? Because they're good. They can become so much of a cliche that they can easily lose their edge, the edge that Jesus gave them and the edge that Paul gave them. So what I'm going to do today is sort of pick apart mostly the Romans reading and end with some thoughts around deny yourself, take up your cross and follow Jesus. So in that reading from Romans, I'll go and find where I'm up to. Paul starts off with love. Now that is not unusual for Paul. He has that famous reading in the letter to the Corinthians. Yes, faith, hope and love, and the greatest of these is love. A lot of the things that Paul writes have become cliches, things that we just trot out. They're probably the only things that I can remember, only memory verses that stick in my mind. And he uses different words to describe this love. Either that agape word, that unconditional love word, or the word based on the word philia, which you get Philadelphia from, you know, brotherly love, that love between people who've come from the same womb. Yeah, that's what that's about. They convey that idea of friendship. Now, usually when people talk about agape, they talk about all the fantastic things that this agape is, that it's this love that Christians are to have, a higher love, a deeper love. But it's interesting that in John 3:16 to 21, again, one of those verses that everyone knows, it says people loved darkness rather than light in John 3:19. That love is agape too. You can have a love for darkness. Agape has to be directed in the right way. You cannot have a love for things that are wrong for you, that are bad for you. Yeah. A commitment to destruction, to destroying others. So that agape love can also go wrong. So what Paul does here in Romans 12:9, he uses that love like the Gospel of John does. Agape, that love is this philia, that love between those who have come from the same womb, the one that holds us together like we are blood. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. That agape love is married to that philia love, that love of siblings. So in this passage from Romans, the different words for love, that agape and that philia, the mutual affection or brotherly affection, and that let love be genuine part, are telling you and telling us that love can be faked, that people can pretend to love. What Paul is saying to us as the body of Christ, because that's the reading that comes just before, we are the body of Christ, is that you are to love like you are best friends, like you are siblings. You are to love with warm, sincere devotion, with sincere concern for their well-being. We are to be concerned for one another. If asked if the people who you are sitting near are your friends, you're expected to say, yes, they are my friends. Not, oh, they're not friend friends, they're really Facebook friends. Yeah? They're supposed to be people you would go out of your way for, people that you care for. When we move on to Romans 12:11, it says, do not lag in zeal, be fervent, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. This encourages us to throw ourselves as the body of Christ into serving God without reluctance or hesitation, which I can tell you is not an easy call. Serving God without reluctance or hesitation, especially when it says later, bless your enemies, do not curse them. It's a very hard thing to do. Alice Walker, who wrote The Collar Purple, says, anyone can observe the Sabbath. Anyone can come to church. But making it holy, making the Sabbath holy, surely tastes the rest of the week. The Sabbath, church worship, is not holy unless the rest of the week is conforming to those things that we have been meditating on during worship. And then Paul says three things. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, and persevere in prayer. Now, these are the easiest cliches of all. Rejoice in hope and then you finish, right? Be patient in suffering and then you just persevere in prayer. But all those three things are supposed to go together. Rejoicing in hope, being patient with suffering, persevering with prayer, they need to be bound together. You pray so that you can find the hope. Just like that first song we sang where we talked, Denmon talked about the being, I don't feel close to you today, God. That's why you pray. God, I don't feel close to you today. Help me know what you want me to do. Prayer is not just for when we're feeling great. It's for when we feel that God is nowhere near us. To help us see that hope. To help us persevere. To help us be patient. So when we then move on to Romans 12:14-15, which says, now I'm going to find it again. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Or the other thing you can see in Greek is give yourself humble tasks. And that always reminds me of when James went to NCYC in Newcastle. And the moderator of the New South Wales church was cleaning the toilets. Rather than, you know, being up the front, she was on the toilet cleaning roster. He always thinks of that, do the lowly tasks. So when we think about what it means to rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, serve the Lord, what we know is to contribute to the needs of the saints, show hospitality to others, bless those who persecuted, bless them. Do not curse them. Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Unlike our natural tendencies, these verses call on us not only to address the cares, concerns, and challenges of people like us, people we already know and already love and find it easy to love sometimes, or those who already love us. They say to us, you need to look beyond the familiar. See those who require care, regardless of how they might fit into what we think is right, for they are all made in the image of God. To weep with those who weep means not that we're pretending to be crying, but that we're making room in our own lives to hear their pain. We're making room in our own. We're not so preoccupied with ourselves that we cannot hear someone else's pain or someone else's joy. And this makes me think of that Good Samaritan story, which is in Luke, not Matthew, but oh well. In that Good Samaritan story, it starts with the teacher of the law saying, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus says, well, what do you think? The teacher says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul and mind. Love your neighbour as yourself. Now, that word for neighbour in Greek means the one who is near me. Okay? The one who is like me. The way that people thought about it then was the neighbour is the one who is near me, i.e. the one who is like me. The one who is of the same tribe as me. Yeah? Then what happens in that story? It's the one who's of a different tribe who cares for that Jewish man that's robbed by the roadway. This passage is saying that to us again. It's not your neighbour, the one who is like you. It's everyone, for everyone is like you. Everyone is near to you because everyone is near to God. So, we are to be and do all these things, which is exhausting, without the help of God. And this is so that we can overcome evil. We can participate with Christ's work in overcoming evil when we do these things. We are practicing peace, not just talking about it, but practicing it. We are not taking vengeance for ourselves. Even though it has that very strange verse about when you show good to your enemy, it's like you're heaping coals upon their head. Yes, which feels a bit weird to us, to me anyway. This is not about victory. This is not about doing good so that people can see how good you are. This is about working with God to overcome evil, not to overcome people or people who have done the wrong thing, but to overcome the evil in the world. You know yourselves that if someone is angry at you, come here, James, we can show this. If someone is angry at you and, you know, pretend you're angry and you do that back, it gets worse, doesn't it? It gets worse. If you go with your natural desire to respond in kind, that violence, that yelling, that whatever has happened to make that conflict, it will get worse. It will spiral. And then you want to revenge. You want to avenge that violence. It's called the myth of redemptive violence. You see it in Rambo movies. Yep, my family has been killed and now I'm going to go and kill all those people that killed my family so I can have closure. Yeah? It's a very big thing in our world. What this is saying, what Paul is saying, and later we'll see what Jesus is saying in the Matthew reading, you are not to repay evil with evil. You are to repay it with good, even though you might lose your life in doing so. Even though. So hard to hear that, to know that that applies to me in every situation. Doesn't mean that I'm supposed to be a doormat and let someone talk like that to me. You hearing that? Yeah. But it means that my response is not to make that worse. My response might be to leave if I'm in a violent situation at home. No, I'm not. Just letting you know. But if I'm in that sort of situation at home, it doesn't mean that I'm to be there and make sure it becomes peaceful. Maybe the only way peace can come there is by leaving. Yeah? This is the hard words that give joy. But it is hard to do. It's so hard to do. Okay. So in this vision of the church that Paul gives us, there is no room for rivalry. We are not competing against each other. In the reading just before, Paul talks about the body of Christ. All have their gifts. All are to use their gifts. Yep. That means that we're not supposed to be in competition with each other. We're not supposed to go, oh, I wish I could be like Effie out the front. If that's not your gift, that's not your gift. You are to rejoice with the gift that Effie and Annie have. Yeah? Rejoice with that gift. We are not to make ourselves better than others so that we can have confidence in our own relationship with God. We are to have confidence that God values each one of us. That's what that message is about. There is no room for us to use each other. We are free from having to win, and we are free from having losers or being losers ourselves, because we are to be entwined, mutually affectionate towards each other. Paul is not interested in a self-serving, happy community of people that just cares for those who belong. He's wanting us to expand our horizons to those who are unlike, who are different. And that contribution is not just about my feelings, but with all the resources that I have. Now, in some cultures, all the resources that we have includes our money, and in some, that's separate. When Paul says all the resources, he means everything. All the property that we have. Dale will know in the regulations, property for the Uniting Church means property and rupiah, property, money, everything. Everything that we have are to be given to follow God, to love one another. That's a challenge for Western world, because money is something that we usually keep separate. Yeah. For other cultures, that's just normal. You share what you have. We know that it is easy to curse those who oppose us. It's easy to curse those who are our enemies. To bless them, to pray for their well-being, changes our hearts. When we then link this to that passage from Matthew, where Peter rebukes Jesus for saying he's about to die, because Peter is focused on the power and authority of this world, not the suffering and sacrifice of Jesus. And Peter says, "Get behind me, Satan," which actually Jesus said to the devil in the wilderness, and says, "Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me." This is about what does it mean to be a follower and a leader. Peter has failed to understand Jesus' way, that servant leader way. But we can get tripped up by that deny yourself. We think that that might mean, you know, whipping ourselves and saying, "We're lowly, I'm not worthy." Or to say that everything about who we are before we became Christian is not worthy. But we know we are to love ourselves as we love God. Love our neighbour, love ourselves. So this is not about losing who we are and trying to be someone else. It's not about keeping a mask up so that no one will see how vulnerable and weak we might be. But to abandon that way of competition, that way of rivalry. To deny ourselves and take up the cross is to open ourselves fully to who God wants us to be. To open ourselves up to each other. To be that mutual affection, that love towards one another. We don't need masks then to pretend that we are someone that we are not. We We can be real and vulnerable. We can love and be loved. The texts are not calling us away from what it means to be human, but calling us to be truly human, that one that is made in the image of God. Sometimes we can be told, or we think, that to deny ourselves is to be the doormat, to show everyone how humble we are, which is sort of an oxymoron. How can you show everyone how humble you are? You're not being humble if you're trying to show everyone how humble you are. It gets very confusing. I see this when I used to go out to dinner with my friends from youth group, and everyone would say, "Oh, I don't mind where we eat," because they're being good Christians. "I don't mind where we eat." And then someone would suggest something and they go, "Oh no, I don't like spicy food. Oh no, I don't..." Because everyone's not wanting to put themselves forward to be first, because the first will be last and the last will be first. That just creates, well, frustration for me, who just wants to eat something and is getting hangry. But also, it's a false sense of humility. Instead, to say, "Oh, I really feel like this tonight," is to love yourself, to love your neighbour, to treat people with respect. To deny ourselves is to deny that false self that we present to the world so that we can get by in a competitive and sometimes difficult and cruel place. To deny ourselves is to be called into that image that God has made us in. When we allow ourselves to be loved and to love and abandon that effort to make people like us, we are free. We are free to live as Christ has asked us to live. We are free to take up our cross and follow Jesus wherever he may lead us. So let us let love be genuine, hold fast to that which is good. Render no one evil for evil. For this love that Jesus has given to us sets us free to love and to lead and to find fulfillment in being that community that God calls us to be. Let us pray. Loving God, help us to be your people, to use the gifts that you have given us to share your love, to spread your word, to witness to your life and calling. Help us in the silence, in the song that is follows, to reflect on what you might be calling us to, how you might be trying to free us from the chains of our masks. In Jesus' name, amen.